All right, so we're diving into MQLs, SALs, and SQLs today. I got to say, sometimes those acronyms, they make me feel like I'm trying to, you know, decode a secret message. But I think once you understand how companies use these different lead types, you get a real insider's view of how they actually grow their business, right?
Absolutely. It's like you're getting a peek behind the curtain, you know, and you're seeing their marketing and sales strategies in action.
Exactly. And our guide for this deep dive is this article. It's called MQL, SAL, and SQL, meaning and differences in lead qualification, published, let me see, on January 11th of this year. So it's really fresh.
Oh, yeah, definitely fresh. We're going to take you through that whole journey, how somebody who just visits a website, you know, ends up becoming a paying customer.
Okay, so let's start with that first little sign of interest. The MQL, our marketing qualified lead. So picture this, you're browsing the web, you come across a company's blog post, and you're like, wow, this is really insightful. And you can't resist downloading that ebook they're offering. Boom, that's often an MQL right there in action.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, they've kind of raised their hand, they've shown some interest, but they're not necessarily saying, okay, take my money yet. It's more like, hey, I'm interested, tell me a little more.
I see. So how do companies then, like, how do they decide which of these MQLs are really worth, you know, focusing their energy on? I mean, not everyone who downloads an ebook is going to turn into a paying customer, right?
Right. That's where lead scoring comes in. You don't want to treat all leads equally. You have to figure out who's most likely to be a good fit for your product, right? Yeah. Like, I worked with this one company, and they realized that the leads who visited their pricing page, you know, multiple times, those people were way more likely to actually become customers than the ones who just downloaded like ebooks and stuff. So they actually changed their whole sales outreach strategy based on that one little insight, and their close rate went up by 15%.
Wow, 15%, that's a huge jump. So lead scoring isn't just some abstract marketing concept. It can actually, like, it can make a real difference to a company's bottom line.
Right, absolutely. And it brings us to that that crucial point where marketing has to pass the baton over to sales. This is where the SAL comes in, the sales accepted lead.
Now, hold on a second. I thought handing off leads to sales was pretty straightforward. Like, what makes a lead sales accepted?
That's a good question. A lot of companies, I mean, they really struggle with this handoff. Think of it this way. It's like a restaurant, right? Marketing is the kitchen. They're creating these delicious dishes. Those are the leads. But you don't want the waiters, you know, bringing out half-baked meals.
Oh, of course not. You want them to be, like, you know, fully cooked and ready to enjoy.
Exactly. Sales needs to be confident that the lead is a good fit before they invest all this time and energy, you know. That's why things like budget and company size and whether they have the authority to actually make decisions, all that stuff becomes really important.
So it's not just about, you know, if the lead is interested. It's about whether they're actually, you know, in a position to buy.
Exactly. And that's why communication between sales and marketing, it's so crucial. They got to agree on what makes a qualified lead. Otherwise, you just waste a ton of time on people who aren't ready to buy.
So I'm guessing once a lead becomes an SOL, they're, you know, pretty close to being a customer, right?
Well, not necessarily. They pass the first screening, but there's still work to be done. And that's where we enter the world of the SQL, the sales qualified lead.
Okay, I'm all ears. What makes a SQL so special?
This is where we go beyond, you know, just interest. We're looking for those clear buying signals. Think of it this way. An MQL might be, you know, just browsing your website. Mm-hmm. But in SQL is asking questions. They're requesting demos. They're comparing your product to the competition. They're really showing that they're serious about making a purchase.
So they've gone from window shopping to actually, like, trying things on in the fitting room.
Exactly. And to qualify as in SQL, a lead usually has to meet what we call BANT criteria. That stands for budget, need, timeline, and authority.
Okay, let's break that down. You mentioned budget, so does that mean?
Yeah, so do they have the resources to actually buy your product? There's no point in spending time on a lead who can't afford your solution, no matter how much they love it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what about need? How do you figure that out?
Well, a sales rep might ask, does this person, you know, really need our product? Can our product solve a specific problem they're facing? And if the answer is no, then it's probably not a good fit.
Okay, so they have the budget, they have the need. What about timeline?
That's where you got to figure out their sense of urgency. Are they looking to buy right now or in 6 months or maybe even a year from now? Mm-hmm. This helps the sales team prioritize and focus on the leads that are ready to move forward.
And finally, there's authority. I imagine this is about making sure you're talking to the right person.
Exactly. Does this lead have the authority to make the purchasing decision? Or are they just gathering information for someone else? You want to make sure you're talking to the decision maker, the person who can sign on the dotted line.
So it's kind of like a detective, right? They're piecing together all these clues to figure out if the lead is really qualified and ready to move forward.
That's a great analogy. And just to make it even more clear, you know, let's take a look at this table from the article. It lays out the key differences between NQLs, SLs, and SQLs. You can really see it side by side.
I love a good visual. So this table is comparing them on their definition, you know, who owns them, their objective, their level of interest, and then how they're engaging with the company. It's fascinating to see how a lead kind of evolves through these different stages.
Yeah, it's like watching a plant grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a tiny seed to a blossoming flower. Each stage needs different care and attention to make sure it reaches its full potential.
All right, so we've got our lead types all figured out, but you know, labels are just labels, right? What really matters is how companies actually like manage these leads and move them through that whole funnel.
Yeah, I mean, you can have the most perfect lead stages in the world, but if you don't have a good process for managing them, it's all for nothing.
So where do we even begin? The article talked about best practices, but it was a little vague for me. What are some things companies can do to make sure they're not just letting these leads slip through the cracks?
Well, I think the first thing is alignment. You got to make sure sales and marketing are on the same page, working together like a well-oiled machine. It's like a relay race, right? You don't want the runners tripping over each other when they pass the baton.
That's a great analogy. So how do you avoid that metaphorical tripping?
You know, I was working with this company once, and they had this huge disconnect between their sales and marketing teams. Marketing was sending over tons of leads, but sales was rejecting, like most of them, saying they weren't qualified.
Oh, no.
And it turned out that they had totally different definitions of what a qualified lead even was. Marketing was all about those engagement metrics, you know, while sales was focused on things like budget and buying authority.
So they were basically speaking different languages.
Exactly. And once they sat down and actually, like, defined their ideal customer profile together, things started to change. They agreed on the criteria a lead needed to meet, you know, before getting passed from marketing to sales. And their acceptance rate went way up. Sales was happier because they were getting better leads, and marketing was happier because their efforts were actually leading to sales.
So it sounds like having those clear shared definitions is like super important.
It's the foundation. Then you can start looking at tools like lead scoring and CRM systems. Those really help you manage those leads effectively.
Okay, lead scoring, CRM. Those sound like classic business buzzwords. Can you break those down for me? What do those actually look like in practice?
Sure. So imagine you have an online store and you're selling gardening supplies. You could set up your lead scoring system to give points for actions like visiting your website multiple times, downloading a guide to organic gardening, or maybe adding items to their cart, but not completing the purchase.
So basically, the more engaged they are, the higher their score.
Exactly. And once they hit a certain score, boom, they become an MQL, and maybe even an SL, ready for that personalized touch from the sales team.
Okay, I see how the pieces fit together. So lead scoring helps you prioritize your leads, and then a CRM system helps you keep track of all those interactions.
Yeah.
And move them through the funnel.
Right. Think of a CRM like a central hub for all your customer data. You know, their contact info, purchase history, even how they interact with your marketing emails.
Okay, I think I'm getting the hang of this. But there's one thing I'm still not totally clear on. We've talked a lot about, like, qualifying leads. But what about actually converting them into paying customers? What role does content play in all of this?
Ah, content is key. It's what drives that whole lead nurturing process. It's like you're taking your leads on a journey, guiding them from that initial spark of interest all the way to becoming a loyal customer.
Okay, I like that analogy. So how do you create content that actually guides them along that path?
Well, you wouldn't serve the same meal to every guest at a dinner party, right? You have to tailor your content to each stage of the lead lifecycle. For MQLs, it's all about grabbing their attention, establishing your credibility.
So things like blog posts, infographics, maybe some fun videos.
Exactly. Give them valuable information that answers their questions and makes you look like the expert in your industry.
And what about SLs? Those are the ones who are, you know, starting to seriously consider their options. What kind of content works best for them?
For SLs, you got to give them something a little meatier, something that helps them compare different solutions and figure out the ROI of investing in your product. Think case studies, white papers, webinars, things that show them you can actually solve their problems.
And then there are those SQLs, the ones who are like practically knocking on your door, ready to buy. What's the best way to seal the deal with them?
At that point, you pull out all the stops. personalized demos, free trials, even proposals tailored to their specific needs. It's all about showing them you understand their challenges and you have the perfect solution.
So it's like a progression, right? You start with lighter educational content, and then as the lead gets closer to buying, you move to more in-depth persuasive content.
Precisely. And the best part is you can automate a lot of this. Imagine setting up an email sequence. That automatically sends the right content to the right person at the right time, based on their behavior and where they are in the funnel.
So you're not like manually sending out each email. It's all happening behind the scenes.
Exactly. You set it and forget it, so you can focus on other things.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. But let's be real. Even with the best content and the smartest automation, not every lead is going to convert, right? So how do you know if your efforts are actually paying off?
That's where measurement comes in. You got to track key metrics at each stage of the funnel. See what's working and what's not.
Okay, so what kind of metrics are we talking about here?
For MQLs, you'd track things like website traffic, how many people are filling out your lead capture forms, and how many times your content is being downloaded. This tells you how well your marketing campaigns are working. You know, are they actually generating interest?
So if you see a spike in website traffic after you launch a new ad campaign, that's a good sign.
Absolutely. Then for SLs, you want to look at the acceptance rate. So how many of those MQLs are actually getting accepted by sales as qualified leads? This helps you spot any disconnect between sales and marketing and fine-tune your lead qualification criteria.
Makes sense. What about for sequels? What metrics should you be watching there?
For sequels, you really want to focus on conversion rates. How many of those super qualified leads are actually closing into deals? And if they're not converting, why not? Are there any roadblocks to the sales process? Are there any objections that aren't being addressed properly?
So it's not just about celebrating the wins. It's also about learning from the losses and always trying to improve, right?
That's right. And that's where things get really exciting with AI and automation. We're starting to see tools that can analyze tons of data and predict which leads are most likely to convert, personalize content recommendations, and even automate those follow-up sequences.
Hold on. AI predicting which leads are going to convert. That sounds a little sci-fi, to be honest.
I know, it's pretty mind-blowing. But it's already happening. Companies are using AI to look at everything, from a lead's browsing history to their social media activity, even their past purchase behavior.
So it's like taking all that data and finding patterns that we humans might miss.
Exactly. And that's just the beginning. We have AI-powered chatbots qualifying leads in real time, personalized email marketing platforms that tailor messages to each person, and predictive lead scoring systems that can tell you which leads are most likely to close.
So AI is basically becoming like a super-powered assistant for sales and marketing teams.
That's a great way to put it. It frees up humans to focus on what they do best, like building relationships and closing those deals.
This is all super fascinating, but I have to admit, I'm a little worried about the human element getting lost in all this automation. Are we all just going to become robots following scripts and algorithms?
I understand that concern. But I think AI is actually making the human element even stronger. Think of it as a tool that helps us be more efficient and effective. But it's still up to us humans to use that tool wisely and ethically.
So we're not surrendering to the machines just yet.
Not at all. It's all about finding that balance between technology and that human touch.
Wow. We've really covered a lot of ground today, from MQLs to AI and everything in between. It's clear that the world of sales and marketing, I mean, it's always changing, right?
Oh, absolutely. And with all this new technology, it's easy to get kind of, you know, caught up in all the technical stuff, the algorithms and the data and all that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning in acronyms and metrics.
But, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We can't forget that this is all about people, right?
You're right. Real people with real needs and real problems that we're trying to solve.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to shift gears for a minute.
Okay, where are we headed?
Let's step out of the boardroom and into the shoes of the customer.
Ooh, I like that. Get a fresh perspective.
Think about a recent purchase you made, something, you know, significant. Maybe a new phone, a car, a vacation, anything like that.
Okay, I'm picturing that new phone I just got.
All right. Perfect. Now think back to the very beginning of that journey. What sparked your interest? What information did you look for? What were you, you know, hesitant about?
Well, my old phone was, it was really starting to give me trouble. The battery wouldn't hold a charge. The screen was cracked. It was running so slow.
So you had a need.
Definitely. I needed a new phone, yeah. But I wasn't sure which one to get.
So what did you do?
I started doing some research online, read some reviews, compared different features, checked the prices, you know.
Sounds familiar. You were in that that exploration phase, right? You were kind of like an MQL.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely in that exploration phase.
So what helped you move from just exploring to actually making a decision?
Well, it was a few things, honestly. The reviews for this particular phone were really positive. It had all the features I wanted, and the price was right.
So you became a sequel. You had the budget, the need, the timeline. You were ready to go.
Exactly. And I'm loving my new phone, by the way.
Yeah, I love it. But the point is, by thinking about our own experiences as customers, we can actually learn a lot about that customer journey.
Yeah, it's like we're putting ourselves in their shoes, understanding what motivates them, what their pain points are, how they make decisions.
And that understanding can help us with everything we do in sales and marketing.
From the content we create to how we interact with our leads.
Exactly. It's about creating a smooth, personalized experience, one that guides them to the best solution for their needs.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. It's amazing how much goes on behind the scenes to turn a regular website visitor into a happy customer.
Yeah, it's a complex process for sure. But understanding the basics can make a world of difference.
I feel like I have a much better grasp on how lead qualification works now.
And remember, it's a journey. Always learning, always improving.
Always something new to discover.
So keep exploring, keep experimenting, and keep those questions coming.
And hey, maybe someday you'll be sharing your own insights on the deep dive.
I'd love that.
Well, thanks for joining us on this adventure. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into the world of, you know, knowledge and insights.